Amma bad. Alhamdulillah. Today is the 24th of May in the year 2018. Alhamdulillah. We're already beginning the second week of the holy month of Ramadan, i.e. it being the 8th glorious day. And I've reached verse 14 of Surah Ali Imran. So inshallah today, going through up to and including verse 17. So verse 14. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Beautified in the eyes of men is the love of things they covet, women and sons, heaped up hoards of gold and silver, horses branded, and wealth of cattle, and well-tilled land. Such are the possessions of this worldly life. But in nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of the goals. So here in this holy verse, Allah the Almighty and Glorious is mentioning the things that people consider to be a status in this worldly life. And the first thing he mentions is with regards to women and then children. So first is a report. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, that is slightly summarized, Abdullah ibn Arqam radiyallahu anhu, he informed Umar radiyallahu anhu of the incoming spoils. Umar radiyallahu anhu, when free, went to the treasury and had the ornaments and the dishes brought to him. The moment Umar radiyallahu anhu saw them, he recited this verse, i.e. verse 14 of Ali Imran. He then said, we cannot help but rejoice in something that has been made tempting to us. O our Lord, may we spend it right and protect us from its evil. Just then one of Umar radiyallahu anhu's own sons, Abdul Rahman, came and asked his father for a ring. Umar radiyallahu anhu said, go to your mother, she will feed you barley soup. It was thus that Umar radiyallahu anhu gave him nothing. So let's look at this report. So it's slightly summarized. So obviously during Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu's Khalifat, Islam was spreading leaps and bounds. So the Persian Empire collapsed, the Roman Empire. So all the treasures were coming back to the Bayt al-Mal. So Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he saw the ornaments and he recited this verse. Meaning this is what Allah Ta'ala has now opened up to us, the treasures of the world. And then he goes, it's natural to rejoice over this. But then he made a dua. He goes, oh my Lord, protect us from its evil and help us to spend it right. And look how amazing, his son asked him for a ring. So obviously, the Bayt al-Mal full. He goes, go and get barley soup from your mother. Meaning, no ring for you. So this shows, of course, his extraordinary justice. So now, what's interesting about this passage, the pleasures of the world are enumerated, and there's four. Women are enumerated, why? Because we need love. Sons, why? For strength and also pride. Hoarded riches, why? So we can acquire the luxuries. And then it mentions the best and finest pedigree horses, cattle. Why? Because in the ancient world, the measure of wealth as well as the means and symbols of good farming was a sign of its progress. By analogy, we may also include in our mechanized age machines of all kinds, i.e. tractors, motor cars, airplanes, combustion engines. So note, all of it is the world. But Allah the Almighty and Glorious is saying, this is why it's been made fair to you, because there's benefits in these things that you think you can extract. So now, what's the first thing that Allah the Almighty and Glorious mentions is from the world? Women. So here, Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, in his tafsir, he mentions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions the delights that he puts in this worldly life for people, such as women and children. But he started with women, because the test with them is more tempting. Then he quotes a hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Our beloved messenger, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا تَرَقْتُ بَعْدِ فِتْنَةً أَدَرَّ أَلَى الرِّجَالِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. I have not left behind me a fitna more tempting to men than women. Then Ibn Kathir said, when one enjoys women for the purpose of having children, preserving chastity, then he is encouraged to do so. There are many hadiths and he quotes. In Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَإِنَّ خَيْرَ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ مَنْ كَانَ أَكْثَرَهَا نِسَاءً. Verily, the best members of my ummah are those who have the most wives. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Muslim, الدُّنْيَا مَتَاءً وَخَيْرُ مَتَائِهَا الْمَرْأَةُ الصَّالِحَةُ. The worldly life is a temporary pleasure, and the best of the temporary pleasures is a righteous wife. So look at what the hadith is saying. From this world, the best temporary treasure you can acquire is not gold, is not silver, is not property, is not status, it's a righteous wife. But even then, it's temporary. And the Prophet infamously said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Nasa'i, حُبِّبَ إِلَى النِّسَاءُ وَالتِّيبُ وَجُعِلَتْ قُرَّةُ عَيْنِي فِي الصَّلَاةِ. I was made to love women and perfume, but the comfort of my eyes is in salah. So the Prophet ﷺ, this was put into his heart by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he loved females, i.e. his wives, of course his daughters, and all the female folk, his family members, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, perfume, and also because the comfort really is in salah. And this is why there's another report in Nasa'i, where Aisha radiyallahu anha said, nothing was more beloved to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than women, except horses. Than horses, except women. So horses came next. Why? Because for jihad. So note, that's why women is mentioned first in this verse. Because that's the greatest fitna. And also, Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani, rahmatullah alayh, he mentions, this is in Fath al-Bari 9-41. First he quotes the hadith, which I've just mentioned. I am not leaving a fitna more harmful for men than the fitna of women. And also he quotes another hadith. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim, number 2742. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this world is sweet, it is green, it is alluring. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to appoint you as successors in it, in order to see how you act. Thus avoid the fitna of women. Verily the first fitna for the people of Israel was caused by women. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesied, and it came true. He goes, the world is sweet and alluring, and Allah Ta'ala is going to make you khalifs. Didn't that happen? And then he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to see how you would act. Why? Because if you haven't got the world, like we haven't got the world, or so we think, and we say, oh, if we had the world, we would be like Uthman and this, that, and the other. MashaAllah. Yeah. So Allah Ta'ala tested the sahaba. Because he's going to make you khalifs. Then he's going to see how you act. And then he warned again. He goes, beware of the allurement of women. The first fitna of the Bani Israel was women. Meaning that was their first step with the downfall. So imagine, they came, they were given revelation. What was the first step to their downfall? Women. So this is why Allah Ta'ala mentions them first here. And this is why Ibn Hajar Asqalani then comments here, rahmatullah alayh. This hadith shows that there is not a fitna greater than that of a woman. And the support of this is the Quran, and he recites this verse. In Surah Ali Imran, verse 14. It goes, Allah Ta'ala mentions women first. They are from those things man covets, and that is the reason they are mentioned first. So man has a great concern and urge for women, and therefore cannot do without them. So there's actually two things Ibn Hajar mentions. One is, it's a fitna. If it's a fitna, you have to make sure to protect yourself in that area. It's one of the first areas you need to protect yourself in. Otherwise, you'll fall. So obviously through marriage. This is what the respected Sheikh was saying. Now, what does the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He goes, Hubbu shahawati minan nisa. Shahawat. That's the word he uses. Now, what is that? You turn to another passage. In Surah Maryam, Surah 19, verse 59. It mentions there the same word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ عَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةِ وَاتَّبَعُ الشَّهَوَاتِ But after them, there followed a people who neglected salah and they followed shahawat. In Qurtubi in his tafsir, 11-123, Hasan al-Basri recited this verse. He said, they deserted the masjids, they busied themselves with everyday affairs, and they clung to the delights of this world and sins. We seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this. Ameen. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? A generation came and they neglected their salat. Why? They followed their shahawat. The same word he uses. They followed their shahawat. Then Hasan al-Basri said, shahawat, what is that? Shahawat is you desert the masjid. Something's making you leave the masjid. Secondly, you get busy in the worldly affairs. Something's causing this. Thirdly, you cling to the delights of the world and also sins. But what is the shahawat? The Quran doesn't mention it here. You go back to the verse we're going through. Women. Allah Ta'ala says, this is why the Quran is explaining itself. Allah Ta'ala is doing this deliberately. But not just women, the other things which are also mentioned. But women are the first port of call, which are mentioned here. Now what's interesting, if you look at the verse, right at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Mata'ul hayatul dunya. Now what does mata' mean? Mata', one of the shuyukh, Shaykh Palampuri, rahmatullah alayhi, al-Hanafi, he said, a good translation of mata' is a disposable tissue. So not even a permanent tissue, you get a handkerchief, that's a permanent tissue. You can wash it, you use it. You know, you get the box and you take one tissue out. He goes, that's, the word for that is mata. Allah Ta'ala uses that same word for the life of this world. He goes, mata'ul hayat al-dunya. So what is Allah Ta'ala calling this worldly life? A disposable handkerchief. Right? So this is why you need to go to the ulama. What does that mean? It means, how on earth have you fallen in love with a disposable handkerchief? Think about that. Imagine somebody comes in and you see him and he's hugging a disposable handkerchief and he's kissing it, caressing it. And you think, well, what are you doing? And he goes, I'm in love with it. Blow your nose, throw it in the bin. Blow your nose. And if you're not using it for that, it's lost its purpose. And this is what Allah Ta'ala calls again and again, the dunya. Mata'ul hayat al-dunya. Mata', the temporary. And we're lost. We're lost in the dunya. But Allah Ta'ala mentions now targets which have made you lost in the dunya. The first thing is women. If you don't get married, you're either Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Jarir, or one of the big shaitans. Very few people didn't get married and they were safe. Such as Ibn Jarir, Ibn Taymiyyah, and so on and so on. Imam Nawawi, rahimahumullah. Why? Because they didn't have time. Not like us. We got all the time in the world. Right? That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companion, radiyallahu, he goes, are you wealthy? He goes, are you married? He goes, no, I'm not married. He goes, have you got your life and possesses? He goes, no. He goes, have you got wealth? He goes, yes. Are you healthy? Yes. Then he goes, you're the brother of shaitan. Imagine the Prophet telling that to a sahaba, we're not like their dust. So don't you start saying, no, peer, right? No peer, right? Sahaba was called brother of shaitan. Why? Because he had the means to get married. Now, why did the Prophet say that? He wasn't saying that out of anger. He was saying that out of love. Protecting. Because he's like a father to you. He goes, why do you think? Another hadith. The hadith is in Razin and Mishkat. The Prophet said, poor man, though he is wealthy, if he's not married. Poor woman, though she is wealthy, if she's not married. To the nearest meaning. So what does this hadith tell you? Even if you're a billionaire, if you're not married, you're poor. Whether you're a husband or whether you're a wife. Because some people think by substituting wealth I don't need to get married. So the Prophet goes, no, you're still poor. Now what does that tell you about the woman? Go back to the hadith. The best mata, the best temporary handkerchief of the world is a righteous wife. It's not to belittle her, but that's the best thing you can get out of the world. And you haven't invested in it. Think about that. You invested in stocks and shares and God knows what else, right? What about finding a righteous wife? And doesn't it take a bit of effort to try and find a woman of that stature? So this is the thing mentioned here. Then it says after that, it mentions sons. And then it goes, heap of gold and silver. Then it says, wal khaylil musawwama. Horses branded. So what does this mean? So again, Hafiz ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi, he narrates, this is in Ibn Jarir ibn Kathir. Ibn Abbas said, musawwama means branded beautiful horses. Branded beautiful horses. So that's what musawwama means. It don't mean horse, it means branded beautiful horses. The same is mentioned by many of the Salaf Mujahid, Ikrimah, Sa'id ibn Jabir, Abdul Rahman. Makhul rahmatullah alayhi said in Ibn Abi Hadim ibn Kathir's tafsir, musawwama refers to the horse with a white spotted face and the horse with white feet. So stop in the report. So you look at the verse, you're thinking, okay, Allah Ta'ala says that. That's the beauty of the world. So why do we find that strange? Because have you got horses? No. What did the Arabs use horses for? In the time of the Prophet, last jihad. But what else? Before.
Transactions and business.
Transport, right? Transport. So what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Musawwama. Branded beautiful horses. So that's why now this can apply to us with transport with beautiful names. Isn't that true? If somebody goes, what car are you driving? He goes, Lexus. That's musawwama. You understand? That's a status symbol. So this is the beauty of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala is talking about horses because that was the transport in those days. And the hadith mentions the, you know, but that's why it was branded musawwama. So transport that is branded. And look at how amazing people, that's a status symbol. You know, whether you like it or not, if somebody's driving a nice limousine or whatever, you think, ooh. And there you go, read the verse. Allah Ta'ala goes, temporary handkerchief again. The person's thinking that, you know, he's got status. What did the Prophet ﷺ ride? Mule. A camel. Isa ﷺ rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Right? Why? Because they want, they had nothing to do with this world. But that doesn't mean you should drive, you know, cars that are going to break down. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, four things constitute goodness or happiness for the servant. A good wife, good home, a good transport, and a good neighbor. Right? So those four things, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you've got them, alhamdulillah, they're blessings, great blessings. So obviously, but it doesn't mean that you gauge somebody's status by it. Have you understood? And look how interesting. Allah Ta'ala uses that word in the Quran deliberately. Why? Because if he just said horses, then he means horses. Class. Right? But when he said musawwama, that means branded horses, beautiful horses, with marks, which the Salaf have mentioned. Look how beautiful the comparison. Just like cars, our transport. The Prophet said in Hakim in his Mustadrak Sahih Hadith, a time will come when your transport will not be flesh and bones. So the Prophet actually told you, he goes, you will lose this, it will be something else. And if somebody goes, is your car flesh and bones? If it is, then I don't know what car you're driving. Right? It's nuts and bolts. And the combustion chamber. With regards to horses, there is a hadith. The hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad 5-170. Abu Dharr relates that the Prophet said, every Arabian horse is allowed to make two du'as every morning. And the horse supplicates. So this is the du'a of the horse. Allahumma innaka khawwaltani min bani Adam faj'alni min ahabbi malihi wa ahlihi ilayh. O ahabba ahlihi wa malihi ilayh. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you made me subservient to the son of Adam, alayhi salatu wa salam. Therefore make me amongst the dearest of his wealth and household to him, or make me the dearest of his household and wealth to him. horses make dua for you. Cows don't. Like horses. That's why you'll notice, if you've never had a horse, this hadith doesn't make sense. But every person I know who's had a horse, when they hear this hadith, they're blown away. They go, that's why. You know, for mention brothers, Brother Ilyas, Brother Zubair. He goes, there's some special affection we've got for the horses. Because they've got one, because we've got horses back home in Pakistan. And he goes, they're so affectionate, and he goes, we got it. And he goes, like part of the family. It's not because of you. It's because of the dua of the horse. And if it's an Arabian horse, it makes two duas. Now what's interesting, the pedigree horses, the best horses all go back to the Arabian Peninsula. Two duas. But how sad and tragic that they're using these great creations for gambling. Imagine. Astaghfirullah. Right? Allah has given them, and they even made a film recently called The War Horse. Why did they? Because it was based upon a true story about a horse that was used in World War I. And the bravery of it is unbelievable. Bombs going off, it's still going forward. Better than human beings. And that's why in Surah Wal-Adiyat, Allah mentions that about the horse. والآديات دبهن فالموريات قدهن فالمغيرات سبهن. And he prays in the horse. Then he goes, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَقَنُوتٌ. Man is ungrateful. Can't you be like a horse? The horse listens to the master on top of it, going to certain death. Doesn't even hold back. And you're not listening to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Because horses are better than you. When Khalid bin Walid passed away, the hadith says his horse wept. Why? Because the horse knew what had left him. Because I was created to go on jihad. And who was on top of me? The very sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Well, he outlived Khalid. Imagine his horse. In fact, one report was he was looking after this horse called Ashtar. He gave it a name, Ashtar. You can say radiyallahu anhu, right? Alhamdulillah. So this is another thing which is worth mentioning with regards to this verse. Verse 15. Say, shall I give you glad tidings of things far better than these? For the God-fearing are gardens in nearness to their Lord, with rivers flowing beneath. Therein is their eternal home, with companions pure, and the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight are all His servants. So now if you look at this, why does this verse seem very strange? Because we haven't seen the akhirat. So when you hear it, you think, only gardens and women. Right? But you dare not say it. Why? Because it's Quran. Mm-hmm. But doesn't Allah know what's going through your heart? Previous verse, you go, yeah, women, land, mug, transport, that's it. Sons. And then when Allah talks about things that are better, you go, gardens and then pure women. So now what does that mean? Right? Why is Allah mentioning these two things? First of all, ask yourself the question, are these the only blessings in paradise? You must be off your rocker if you think that. There's endless blessings. In fact, the Quran says, no eye has ever seen. So you can list them out, what you've seen. Guess what? There's going to be things that you haven't seen. No ear has ever heard. No mind has ever come across. So just two blessings. So why is Allah Ta'ala mentioning that? So let's look at the first thing He mentions. Rivers flowing beneath their eternal home, gardens. So now if you look at one verse of the Quran, and it's very interesting, where Allah Ta'ala has placed it, He's honored it, because this is the shortest verse of the Quran. And it's simply one verse. Surah 55, verse 64. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, Mudhammatan. What does that mean? In Ibn Kathir, Abdul al-Mantur, Ibn Abbas, he recited the verse, radiyallahu anhu, he said, it means, they have become dark green, bordering on black, because of extensive water irrigation. So what does Allah Ta'ala say about the foliage of the garden? He goes, it's almost black. I don't know whether you've seen gardeners world. I've never seen the black leaves. Bordering on black. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you something about the garden. It's so extensive, the water. Where are the greenest plants we know? And the most beneficial plants? The rainforest. They actually call it rainforest. Why? For a reason. Because it's always raining. And what happens? You get those amazing plants that nowhere else on the earth it grows. And they don't even know what properties they've got. Because they're all, you know, very beneficial in terms of health, and the people who they've killed off from there, they took the knowledge with them. Those with the knowledge. Rainforests. So what is a rainforest compared to paradise? Allah Ta'ala says in one word, Mudham Matan, the shortest verse of the Quran, dark green in colour because of its extensive irrigation. Also Jannah. Allah Ta'ala could have called paradise anything. Why is he called it Jannah? You know, people don't even think, they're just saying things. What does Jannah mean? Jannah means garden. Garden. So a person goes, paradise, garden, okay. Why is it called garden? Because Allah Ta'ala is telling you something about the greenery again. It's so thick, you can't see through it. Because the word Jannah, what's the derivatives? The word jinn. Can the human eye see the jinn? No. Janin, the embryo. Can the human eye see the embryo? No. Junnah, the shield. What's it covering? The person behind him. You can't see the person behind him. Jannah. Why is it called Jannah? So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, it's so extensively irrigated, it's so thick, God only knows what's behind it. But that in itself, now you know, is the desire. In the heart, you're thinking, what's be? There you go, Allah Ta'ala is forcing you to think. If you don't even know what this greenery is, then what is actually behind that? And then you got that mind-blowing hadith of the tree of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there's a tree in paradise. It takes a fast rider, he goes 100 years. One of the apostles of 500 years. And he still can't cross it. So what does that hadith mean in Sahih Bukhari? It means that tree is bigger than the world. Because if you put a tree and they got a shadow, and you got a guy, jockey, waiting to go how fast before he gets through the shadow? And he goes, well, go on for 500 years. So how big is that tree? That's one tree. So one tree is bigger than the whole world. Imagine. So note, Allah Ta'ala reminds you again and again, this is what's better for you. He says, gardens in nearness to their Lord with rivers flowing beneath. One report says that the irrigation goes up. You know, normally it goes down, but in paradise it actually goes up. The rivers start flowing upwards. It doesn't flow down, it goes up. Which is the extensiveness. And then it says, وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ, pure wives or women. What's being referred to? Surah Baqarah. Surah Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَحَّرَةٌ, they will have companions pure. Now there's two reports. In Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir, in his tafsir, Ibn Abbas said, purified from filth and impurity. They don't excrete. They don't urinate. They don't menstruate. They don't blow their nose. They haven't got dandruff. Right? They haven't, you know, and why is that important to highlight? Which woman on earth doesn't have that? This is why this man came to Ibn Masud. He goes, I've fallen head over heels over this woman, and it's affecting me. He goes, please, you got to give me some advice. So Ibn Masud said, if I give you advice, you might not like it. And he goes, no, tell me. He goes, picture her excreting. He goes, right? And then he says to her, what? And then he goes, I told you wouldn't like it. Right? Any beautiful woman you can think of, picture her on toilet, have her in number two. The hoodies do that. Right? So there you go, in it. How can you compare? Secondly, in Tabari, in Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi said, purified from menstruation, the call of nature, urine, spit, semen, and pregnancies. They don't get pregnant. There's no time of the month. There's no this and that. Another meaning of purified from memory is that they only have eyes for you. Why? Because if you've got an absolutely stunningly beautiful woman, what are you worried about? Right? You're thinking, any man who looks at this woman, my wife, or she can have any man she wants. But in paradise, they're pure. They're not bothered about anybody else. So what does that tell you? Allah Ta'ala is telling you, think. This is better for you. Not just one. Right? One report says there was a man, I'll mention it. The hadith is in Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya, he was a tabi'in. And he had a big smile on his face, like a Cheshire cat. So his student came. He goes, Shaykh, he goes, why are you smiling? May Allah Ta'ala keep you happy. What's happened? And he said, Alhamdulillah. He goes, I was praying tahajjud, and during the tahajjud I fell asleep. And then he goes, I saw this hoodie, and she was on a balcony, and I've never seen anything like her. Right? And he started describing things. I can't describe her. She's just absolutely stunning. And then she said to me, oh Abdullah, are you sleeping? He goes, 500 years before you was created, before you was born, Allah Ta'ala was preparing me for you. Now what's interesting about that narration? 500 years before you was born, Allah Ta'ala was preparing me for you. So let's put that into English. In 1518, a hood is getting prepared. For who? For you. 500 years later. You're not even born yet. So what was the hoodie telling her husband? He goes, you only have to do a bit of work and you're sleeping. And then he said, I'm going to work. And then he said this to his student. He goes, don't tell anybody about this. Only tell this after I'm dead. Why? Because he didn't want to do the, you know, to do riyah. And after the sheikh passed away, then the tabata'a been told the people. Because I've never seen my sheikh smile so much. Because he was smiling so much. One hadith says that when you offer tahajjud, the hoodies go in circle around you. One hadith mentions that the hoodies encircle you in tahajjud. Why? Because one report says that's their dowry. Right? Tahajjud. Fatahajjud bihi nafilatan. So note, when Allah Ta'ala is mentioning rivers and gardens and pure, you have to really focus on this. And then you realize. And don't forget, the Quran then says, abad khalidina fiha, forever, eternal. And then it says, waridwanum minallah, waridwanum minallah, and the good pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because in paradise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Bukhari, that Allah ta'ala will talk to the people of paradise. He will say, anything else do you desire? And the people of paradise will say, Ya Allah, you've brightened our faces. You fulfill all our desires. What desire is left? Allah Ta'ala says, I am now never going to be upset with you. I am going to be happy with you. My pleasure is upon you forever. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, after mentioning the blessings of paradise, وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and the good pleasure of Allah, this is better for you. The Sahaba got this in the world. They were given that stamp in the world. We have to wait for paradise. For in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all his servants. Verse 16. Namely those who say. So now if you look at verse 16 and 17. Allah ta'ala has given you characteristics of these people now. So if you want to know if you're amongst the people of paradise. Verse 16 and 17. Namely those who say, O our Lord, we have indeed believed. Forgive us our sins. Save us from the punishment of the fire. Those who show patience, firmness, and self-control, who are true in word and deed, who worship devoutly, who spend, and who pray and beg forgiveness in the time of Sahri. These are the qualities. Allah Ta'ala has given you the answers of the exam. Imagine, look how merciful He is. He's not just said, get to paradise, work it out. So what are the qualities? One is, you believe, you have to believe obviously. Then it says you make a dua. Rabbana innana amanna faghfir lana dhunubana waqina adhaban nar. O our Lord, we have indeed believed. Forgive us our sins, save us from the agony of the fire. Some ulama say, this dua will take you to paradise. Because Allah Ta'ala has immediately mentioned this dua after talking about paradise. He's giving you the answer in the exam. Then he mentions qualities. Sabireen, Sadiqeen, Qaniteen, Munfiqeen, Mustaghfireen, Bil Asqar. Look at the beauty in the Arabic. How on earth are you going to translate this? As-sabireen, wa-sadiqeen, wa-l-qaniteen, wa-l-munfiqeen, wa-l-mustaghfireen, Bil Asqar. English, completely gone. English, those who show patience, firmness, self-control, who are true, devoutly worship, spend, who beg forgiveness at the time of Sahri. So now what's interesting, all of it is self-explanatory except the last part. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Wal mustaghfirina bil ashar. Sahri, Ramadan. We know about Sahri. You ask forgiveness at the time of Sahri. Allah Ta'ala loves that. In a hadith in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Abdullah Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu would ask his servant, O Nafi, is it the time of Sahri? Nafi said no. He continued praying Salat. He goes, oh Nafi, is it the time of Sahri? The last part of the night. He said yes. Abdullah ibn Umar would then start making dua to his Lord to seek forgiveness until Fajr.
Mm-hmm.
He would make dua for forgiveness until Fajr. Now look how interesting. Did Ibn Umar mention this verse? When I first, and I'll be brutally honest, when I first read that report, I didn't get it. I thought he's offering tahajjud. Why is he concerned about the time of Sahri? But then I thought, oh, is it because he wants to have Sahri? So imagine he's doing tahajjud, finishes, Nafi, is it Sahur time? And he goes, no, and he continues praying. Then it says, when he said yes, he's asking for forgiveness. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Why was he doing that? Because he's living Quran. What did I tell you? He's living Quran. Allah Ta'ala says right at the end of verse 17, وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَصْحَارِ They seek forgiveness at the time of Sahri. So now somebody goes, well, I can't do that. I'm having my breakfast, right? So the response to that is this. The Sahri time ends at the entry of Fajr. Isn't that true? And what do you notice? What's the sunnah? There's a gap. There's a 10-minute gap between the finishing of Sahri and the time of Fajr. Mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. In those 10 minutes, do istighfar. You're still in Sahri. And if you can't do 10 minutes, do 5 minutes. If you can't do 5 minutes, then at least do 1 minute before the Fajr time. You say, Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Somebody goes, what are you doing? I'm living verse 17 of Ali Imran. Quran is not just to recite. You understand? Right? So note, that's why the Prophet, there was a gap. What was he doing? So note here, this is something we can get into our lives, especially in this glorious month of Ramadan. When, normally the Fajr's late, but the Sahri time comes in very useful in the time of the holy month of Ramadan. So note, with that, who knows, maybe Allah the Almighty will give us paradise just for asking forgiveness at that auspicious time. Inshallah. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب قل أنبئكم بخير من ذلكم للذين اتقوا عند ربهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها وأزواج مطهرة ورضوان من الله والله بصير بالعباد الذين يقولون ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار الصابرين والصادقين والقانتين والمنفقين والمستغفرين بالأسحار. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Rabbi of our hearts. I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Amen. سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ورواصوا بالحق ورواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم